Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. Broadcasting Company brings you another transcribed episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory, friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s. This legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The territory has always been the place of hard life, back-breaking work, and far too often an unmarked grave on the trail from here to there. But every once in a while, the men and women of the frontier take the time to sing a little and dance and laugh. Even I find it necessary to seek entertainment. Who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is my friend Midnight. He is a ranger.
Take it off.
Do not be alarmed, my friend. He is referring to the cloth which I put on his cage each night. But he, too, is a connoisseur of gaiety. In the town of Frenchman's Ford, entertainment comes in 50-gallon barrels or quart bottles and is served across the bar at the Bull Run Saloon by Mr. O'Shea and his helpers, all of whom wear their hair parted in the middle with large handlebar mustaches. It is there that I go for relaxation, and it is there that I often meet my friend, Doc Seekgun.
Hold up a chair, Pablo. Let the drink down.
I'm afraid to. If you set a glass of O'Shea's whiskey down hard, it curdles like cream in a thunderstorm.
You can stick the coffee the way I do.
Oh, Doc, what is laudable in a surgeon is not necessary in a peddler. I will continue to drink whiskey.
Just right into town?
Doc, I have been on the trail for so many hours, my trousers are still under the impression that there is a horse beneath them.
Now, look here, Corey. Any fella can hand out a few yarns and get a laugh or two for a panhandled meal off of me. But it's about time you paid off that there show you
put. Sure, it's okay. Just give me a chance to finish this here plate of victuals, that's all.
Well, since when has O'Shea started the soup kitchen?
Oh, that's some fellow who drifted into town this morning. Mm. He has a girl with him. He promised O'Shea they put on a show if he'd stake him to some grub.
Actors?
Well, I think she dances a little. He plays the accordion. There's the girl over there at the table.
Ooh, very beautiful. Yeah, but she looks a little tired.
The fellow said they've been riding for a couple of days.
Ah.
How about it, Corey? Let's have that dance. A lady's going to do a dance. And I want you cowpokes to remember that this here's a place of refinement and high-toned music. Now there'll be no whiskey served till after the dance.
Okay, go ahead. All right, Jenny, show them how you can dance. Up in the bar.
Oh,
Yeah, I can see you are.
Then you can let go of me.
Well, now, I reckon one of old Shay's meals and a schooner of beer ain't no pay for a high-class dance like you done.
Well, I figured maybe we might pass the hat or something if you gentlemen like Jenny's dance.
I like it real fine.
Will you please let go of me?
As a matter of fact, I'm about to show my appreciation right now.
Let go of me. Let go.
Just a little kiss, that's all, honey. Ah!
Ooh!
She bit me!
Singing saloon doesn't mean it was for sale like the whiskey.
Why, you two-bit tramp.
I'm sure Jenny didn't mean any harm, mister. Now, Jenny, come on over here.
I could get blood poisoning from a mangy cat like that.
Now, you wait a minute, mister. You started it. Jenny was
you
only...
You talking back to me.
Now, cut it out, Murdoch.
Shut up, O'Shea. I'm talking to this here accordion-playing fool. You standing up to me?
Well, no, mister. Only we don't want no trouble, Jenny and me. We just want to make folks happy, sing a little song, dance a little dance, that's all.
Let's see what kind of a dance you can do, mister, if you really put your mind to it.
Murdoch, I don't want no shooting in here. Now, put that gun away. Now, look, mister, can't we talk this over?
And if I just happen to get too close, maybe you'll sing a little, too.
Murdoch.
No. You ready now?
Now, listen, mister, you wouldn't...
Murdoch, put your gun away.
Who's that? Doc, who asked you, huh?
I said, put your gun away. That fellow didn't do anything to you.
I got bit in there by that scrawny she-coyote.
Now, Murdoch, that's no way to talk about a lady. This gentleman was right in trying to protect her.
This ain't none of your business, Doc.
Why, sure it is. I'm the doctor. If a man gets shot in the gun hand, I have to fix him up. Now, don't I?
Well, there ain't nobody shot in the gun hand.
There will be if you don't put your gun back in that holster.
Now, Doc.
Put it back.
Well, I didn't aim to get in no fight with you, Doc. I got respect for you, see, because you're the doctor.
Also, because Doc has a six-gun pointing at your belt buckle.
Yeah. Put the gun away, Murdoch.
Well, sure. It's all right, Doc.
Okay, it's all over now. It's all over. Everybody, get back to your drinking.
Charlie, get a drink up for Murdoch.
I guess I ought to thank you, Doctor. You are a doctor?
Yes, Dr. Matt.
Well, I'm Joe Coy, and this is my partner, Jenny Warren.
Delighted to make your acquaintance, ma'am. And this is my friend, Tuff.
I don't know what I'd have done if you wasn't here. Probably I would have danced.
That big ape. If he could see Joe wasn't carrying a gun.
Well, Murdoch's a pretty decent fellow, except when he gets a skin full of O'Shea's whiskey. You two married?
We're just an act. Corey and Warren. Songs, dances, and funny sayings.
Funny sayings? I didn't notice any of those.
Yeah, we ran out of them about 3 months ago. We also ran out of money.
How'd you get way out here?
Well, we were stranded by some no-good manager back in Chisholm City. Joe thought we might pick up a grub stake out at one of these one-horse towns.
Yep, madame, you couldn't have picked a more unfortunate adjective for Frenchman's Ford. One horse?
You wouldn't say that if you roamed above the livery stable where I do.
Well, it's just a way of talking. No offense, man. Think there's another couple of rooms we could rent somewhere?
Oh, certainly. If you like, I'll take you to my landlady and recommend you highly as old friends.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You go on, Jen. You're plumb dead in your feet. Maybe I can wrestle up enough to pay for a couple of nights by singing and passing the hat.
Well, Mr. Pavlo, would you really show me over to the rooming room?
My pleasure. This way?
Thanks again, Doc, for standing up for us that way. There haven't been many who did in the last couple of weeks.
Don't mention it.
My arm.
I'll see you later, Jen.
Hey, come on, Jenny!
Very beautiful girl, your partner.
No, that ain't all, Doc. Jen's got talent. Well, not like me. I just do a couple hundred songs to get a laugh out of the saloons. But Jen, she's a real artiste. If she could get back to one of them big managers back east in Chicago, she could... Bam, don't matter no how.
Really down on your luck, huh?
Doc, I am so low I could walk under a snake's belly with stilts and a hi-hat and never tickle his ribs.
You tried any other line of work?
I don't know no other trade. Besides, there's Jen. Say, Doc, suppose you could lend me the price of a shot of whiskey. I mean, only till after I pass the hat after my next number. I'm temporarily embarrassed.
Later, the Doc got a message from the sheriff asking him to come by the jail. There was a young prisoner that was asking for him, Eli Albert.
What's the matter, Albert? That leg bothering you again?
Sure, but that don't make no never mind. After tomorrow morning, it ain't gonna bother me none to speak of.
I'll try to make you comfortable tonight, Albert. With a nasty wound.
That ain't why I called for you, Doc.
Hmm?
Sit down.
All right.
You know, Doc, I never shot that fella. I never was anywhere near the river trail that afternoon.
Well, jury...
Now, look, Doc, don't interrupt me. I ain't got time. Sure, the jury figured different, but let's get this straight. It was my cousin, Jake Liverack, got me into this mess. Them witnesses against me? Half of them owe Jake money, and the other half...
You mean your cousin framed you for murder?
I'm not asking you to believe me, Doc. But it's the truth.
But why?
5 acres of mine and claims up in the Grand Pere Mountains. It was left to me by my pa. They go to Jake when I die under terms of the will.
I thought those claims were worthless.
Well, Doc, so did I. But Jake knew better. That's why he arranged to get my neck stretched tomorrow morning.
Isn't there some way you can prove this, Eli?
No. Tell you the truth, Jake's a lot smarter than I am. But I think I found a way to keep him from getting the land. I sent for you because you're the one fella that gave me a decent chance. You took me away from that mob that was set to save the territory at the cost of a trial.
Doesn't look like it's much use.
Listen, Doc. My pa didn't hold with Marion Young. He's got one clause in that will that says if I got married before I was 30, I'd get cut off. And all the property goes to the Baptist Church. Now, Doc, my birthday ain't gonna be till a week from Sunday. So I ain't never likely to be 30.
But I don't see how that helps you.
Well, it don't help me much. But if I was married, I'd be cut out of my pa's will. And my cousin Jake don't get to inherit nothing. So, Doc, I gotta get married.
But you're gonna be hanged tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Guess that makes me the ideal bridegroom, huh? Woman would sure know where I was every night.
Eli, I don't think that's so funny.
Neither do I, Doc, but I gotta keep trying. How about it?
How about what?
Can you find somebody to marry me?
Marry? What? Eli, this is the craziest thing I ever heard of.
Maybe, but I'd give her $100. If I had time, I'd get one of them girls from the gambling house at Chisholm City to do it for 20 cents. But I couldn't get one of them over here in time.
Well, that's asking an awful lot.
Doc, you find me some gal who wants $100 and don't mind being a widow by tomorrow.
I don't know.
That's my dying request, Doc.
Well,
you wouldn't refuse a man on his deathbed. Now, would you?
Well, it's crazy, Eli, but I'll see what I can do.
Hi, Doc. Hey, you missed all the big doings. That Corey fella knew some of the darndest songs. There was one about this here gal from Paris, France.
Never mind, Lucy. Where is he?
Corey? He's over there at the table. I never see the fella so anxious to drink himself into a blind stagger.
He passed out.
Oh, but. Well, there he is. Help yourself, Doc. Corey.
Yes, yes, gentlemen, for my next number, I will sing.
Corey, come on now. Wake up. Come on, wake up.
Now, come on, gentlemen. It wasn't that bad. I'll try better next time.
Listen, Corey, can you see me?
Yeah, let go of my ear. Ooh. You're the doctor. You want to save me? I can't ever thank you enough.
Listen, did you mean it when you said you wanted to get back east?
East, yeah.
How much money do you need?
Just the price of a drink.
Would $100 do it?
Oh, I don't need that much to drink. Just a quarter.
Give me that glass of beer.
Yeah. Hey! What's the idea of throwing at my face?
Now, listen. If you had $100, could the both of you go back east?
Well, sure we could. Only you ain't got $100.
Well, you can get it.
Oh.
Now, listen. There's a fella in the jail here. He'll give $100 to any girl who'll marry you.
Say, it must be lonely in that jail.
He's going to be hanged tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But for his own reasons, he wants to get married tonight.
You mean Jen? He wants to marry Jen?
He doesn't care who it is. $100, and tomorrow it's all over.
I figured on marrying Jen myself when I get her back east. She's a big star like I promised her, but... $100, you say?
That's right.
He's going to hang tomorrow morning, huh?
Right so.
And all Jen has to do is marry him tonight, huh?
It'll all be over in 10 minutes. And he won't ever be out of his cell.
Well, just as long as she don't go into it.
Well, how about it, Corey?
$100, huh?
But sure, Doc. Sure, it's okay with me.
You just got to ask Jen.
Do you, Eli Albert, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife to love and cherish till...
It's all right, Judge. Go ahead and say it. Don't worry me, none.
Till death do you part?
I do.
And do you, Jenny Warren, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband to love, honor, and obey as long as you both shall live?
Go ahead, Jen.
I do.
Then by the powers vested in me by this territory as justice of the peace, I now pronounce you man and wife. How do you make this well, I guess that wouldn't be right in this case.
Now, them bars kind of get in the way. Thank you, Miss, what's your name?
Warren. Jenny Warren.
Well, thank you. Doc, you take care of giving her the $100, will you?
All right, Eli.
You know, I wish... I'd just like to be around long enough to see the look on Jake's face. Doc, take a good look at him for me when he hears the news, huh? Now, if you gentlemen will let me be, I figure I need a good nap.
Sit down, Miss Warren. Sorry I can't offer you anything. I don't do much cooking in the house.
Oh, that's all right, Doc. Joe and I just came by to thank you before we left town.
You going back east?
I was taking the stage out at 10 o'clock to Chisholm City and St. Louis and finally Chicago and maybe even New York.
I don't know how to thank you, Doctor.
I didn't do anything, Miss Warren.
I suppose it should be Mrs. Mrs.
Albert.
Is it over yet? I'm in the...
Sometime around now. I wouldn't think about it if I were you, Miss Warren.
That's right, Jen. Don't even think about it.
Funny. I didn't even see his face. It was so dark in the shadows. And it's kind of hard for me to realize I'm married him.
Well, you won't be for long. Just don't think about it.
Hey, Doc!
What's the matter, Murdoch?
They need you quick.
What's the matter?
Charlie Potter's hurt.
What happened?
He got a gash on the back of his head a couple of inches wide. He's bleeding like a stuffed pig,
Doc. I'll get my bag. How'd it happen?
He got hit on the head with a gun butt, likely.
Now, who'd do that to Charlie Potter?
Well, last night, Ed Rafferty got took sick, and the sheriff swore Charlie in as deputy. He was sitting outside the cell door of that Eli Albert fellow.
Albert? Is hanging over?
Over? When they went to get Eli Albert this morning, there wasn't hide nor hair of him in that cell. And Charlie Potter was stretched out cold as a mackerel on the floor.
No hanging?
No, he escaped. Come on, Doc. Charlie's howling like a bull in a chute.
Corey, look after. Anybody move him, Murdoch?
Oh, no, he's just lying there where he was.
Oh. Jen, now listen. Now, Jen.
Joe, what have I done?
Me.
What are we going to do?
It wasn't your fault, Jen. You couldn't help it.
But I'm married to him. Joe, I'm married to a murderer. What am I going to do? Joe.
You get some sleep, you hear, Jen?
It's all right, Joe. I'll get undressed now and get to bed.
I'll see you in the morning. And don't worry, honey. We'll figure out something.
All right. Night, Joe. Joe? Joe, is that you? Joe? Who's outside there?
There ain't nobody outside. Don't make no noise.
What are you doing in here? Who are you?
You don't know me? That's a funny one, ain't it? Married only one day and forgot me?
How did you get here?
Tell you the truth, I didn't have no choice. Got loose out of the jail. If I'd rode out of town, there would have been 40 men chasing me inside of 10 minutes. They're still hunting for my trail up in the hill, so I just come over here. I've been hiding in the box stall at the livery stable till a couple hours ago. I don't smell so good.
I was just going to bed.
I noticed. If it make you feel better, I'll turn the other way while you finish taking that thing off or putting it on or whatever you was doing.
It's all right. It's dark.
Dark as it was when we was married. You know, it's funny. I mean, it didn't make no difference to me. I was figuring on hanging this morning, but I kept wondering if I was married to a pretty girl. That's crazy, ain't it?
I know what you mean. I thought the same thing. I wanted to see what you looked like, but I was afraid.
Afraid of a murderer?
No. I was afraid I'd cry and make you feel bad. Move into the lamp. Closer.
I didn't have to worry, none. I mean about you being a pretty girl.
What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I heard two fellas say they got a $500 reward out for me. I reckon I'll run till they catch up with me. Maybe I'll go visit my cousin Jake first.
Isn't there any way that you can get out of here?
Nah, it's not too likely. I can't ride too good with this leg.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, I reckon I got you in a kind of a mess, but you don't have to worry. With $500 on the line, you'll be shut of me soon enough.
Oh, no.
Don't you want to be?
Well, I don't think I want you to be killed. I mean, not after I've talked to you like this.
Well, that's right nice of you, man. So, reckon I'd better get going soon.
But you can't. I mean, if your leg is hurt, where can you go? You'd better stay here at least till morning.
How about that other fella?
Joe Corey, he won't know. You better push that washstand against the door. The lock doesn't hold too good.
Hold the lamp.
Your name's Eli, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I should have remembered.
No reason why you should.
I better blow out the lamp. Somebody might notice the light.
You sure you feel all right about it?
That's all right. We're married.
Jenny, honey, you want me to bring over some breakfast from the saloon? Jenny?
Just a minute, Joe.
Honey, you want something to eat this morning? You didn't touch that tray last night.
Oh, I got kind of hungry in the middle of the night, Joe. I guess I would like some breakfast.
Oh, well. Well, sure. Sure, I'll get you something. Now, don't you worry. Maybe some coffee or griddle cakes or something. You just wait right here, and I'll come right back with it.
It's all right, Eli.
I can't stay here any longer. I'll have to get out somehow. He'll find out.
Oh, he didn't notice anything, I'm sure. You have to have something to eat and some money. I've got $90. We bought the stage tickets to Chisholm City, but I've got the rest.
No, that's yours. I couldn't take that back.
Look, maybe if you went on the stagecoach in Joe's place, well...
It's no use. It's just making trouble for you.
All right, Albert, put your hands up. I got you covered.
Joe, what are you doing?
I'm capturing a murderer. That's what I'm doing. I dropped your gun on the floor. Now, go ahead.
Joe, what...
You thought you were pretty smart, didn't you? Staying here in town with all the rest of them deputies riding through the hills after you, sneaking into a girl's room and threatening her.
Joe, you don't understand.
Out of the way, Jen. I'll handle him. You wasn't so smart, mister, hiding behind them dresses. I saw your boots in the mirror. Did he hurt you, Jen? I'll shoot him down right now, sir. Help
Joe,
me.
Joe, listen to me.
Thank you, mister. Jen, you know what the reward is? $500. $500. We can get to New York and that and see their managers.
Joe, I'm not going.
What do you mean?
I'm his wife.
Well, sure, but they'll hang him 10 minutes after I turn him in, and you won't have to worry about him no more.
Yeah, I guess you might as well have that $500 as anybody.
Yeah, well, that's the way to look at it, mister. Jen, this is our chance. I can really take you to New York in style. Put up one of them fancy hotels on 14th Street. Jen, honey, we could be married, you and me. Like I always figured, I never had a chance to tell you somehow, but now we can, you see?
Joe, you don't understand. When I married him at the jail, I didn't see him. I didn't talk to him. I didn't know who he was.
Well, sure, but...
I don't know how it happened, Joe. Honest, I don't, but I've been talking with him, and I saw him in the lamp, and... Well, you can't turn him in to be hanged. I love him.
Well, you don't have to worry about him, Jen.
Joe, I'm his wife, and I love him.
You don't mean that.
Joe, I'm sorry. Even if they... I couldn't go with you anyway. I mean, not now.
Oh. Oh, well, yeah.
Joe, what are you going to do?
You. Albert,
Hear what she said?
Yeah. I did.
3 years we've been together, Jenny and me. And all wasn't much good. I mean, not really. We got fired out of every job we had because of me, because I was too drunk to go on or just wasn't good enough. But this was our chance. I could take Jenny East. I could work up enough courage and self-respect to tell her how I feel about her, and then you had to come along, and for a rotten joke, for a cheap, rotten guy, I'd shoot you down right now. I'd turn you into them deputies and watch you hang it. Jim, you don't mean it, do you?
I love him.
It ain't fair. It just ain't fair.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, I guess. Here, you take this gun.
Joe.
Get away from me.
Joe, how can I thank you for this?
You can't. So long, Jenny.
Hey, where are you going?
Don't you worry. I ain't going to tell the deputies. I'm going to cross that saloon and swap them stage tickets for a whiskey, and I hope it's enough to drown me.
Corey.
Oh, it's the doctor. The fellow that did me a favor. Got me an easy $100, you did. Well, let me buy you a drink.
Listen, do you know where he is?
Who?
Eli Albert.
Sure. They hanged him yesterday morning, just like you said you would.
Doc, you're a liar. Listen, I've got to find him. There's a reprieve down from the territorial government. One of the witnesses against him got shot and made a deathbed confession. He's going to be cleared. Now, did you see him?
Doc, you are very, very late.
Did you see him? I've got to tell him. He's going to be free.
You know, when I came into this town, I had a girl. Darndest thing you ever heard of. I lost her. And wasn't that careless?
Now, listen to me. Where is he?
He's over at the Roman house. He's with his wife.
Let me buy you a drink, Doc. Long life to the bride and groom.
You've been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Dr. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by Ernest Canoy. Heard in the cast were Peggy Lobbin as Jenny, Bill Redfield as Eli, Nelson Armstead as Corey, Bob Dryden as Murdoch, and William Keane as O'Shea. Dr. Six Gun is directed by Fred Wade. This is Jack Costello speaking.